And I said, "Phew, man, I'm glad you made it. I was coming to help you, brother. I thought you were going to fall." He said, no, I'm all right. He said, "Man, it's hard sometimes." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Oh, it's arthritis. Has me all bound up." He said, "My knees are just froze up anymore, man. And, I mean, he's walking like this. It was bad. It looked like he was going to fall on the steps. It was pretty bad." I said, "Listen, man, I ran over for a reason. I was going to help you and make sure you didn't fall, but I wanted to do something. It just take 15 seconds, man. I just want to bless you. I want to pray. Just believe God takes that thing out of your knee." He says, "Well, prayer matters, man. It'll be all right. Prayer matters." He takes my hand. I didn't know his whole family's behind me in a half circle waiting for him. His little granddaughter's standing there listening to me and watching me. And I said, "You better believe prayer matters, man. Jesus is awesome and he loves you. I really care about you getting healed. I want to see you get better." I prayed 15 seconds right in the center of Charlotte Airport, which is very busy, main corridor. We're not blocking, we're just right in the middle. People are blowing by us. He said, "Thank you, man. I appreciate it." Now, I had just got off the plane with this guy that I poured my heart out to the whole trip. And I just thought we were having a good Christian conversation. I had no idea he was getting rocked. I didn't. And he had an accident in his back when he was 17, and now he's 54. His back and neck was broke, and he shouldn't have lived, and he did, and he counted that a gift. But he's in pain every day, and he's got surgery holding things, and you learn to live with it. That's what he told me. I can't explain it, but we never got to pray the way we got off the plane when I ran to this man. This guy drifted off to his next flight, and I never got to pray about his back. Because I wanted to pray for his back before we left. I got praying for this other man. So I got too many people to pray for. I need help, guys. No, I'm kidding. So I prayed for this black man. And he said, "Well, thank you, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it." I said, "No, man, we're not done." I said, "I want you to check your knees right now. Don't make anything up. Just lift them, bend them, check them. It's your body. You know." He went. Because he just thought I was a nice gesture. Seriously. He just thought, "Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart, you care." He does like this and he goes, and he's a black brother, man. This guy, he could have preached if I'd have given him a mic. I could tell. He's like, "Whoa, man, what? So walking? What, man? We're right in the center airport." He says, "Your prayers do matter, man. Your prayers matter, man." He's like, he's turning up now. I'm like, "Get that guy a mic. He's ready to preach the gospel." And his whole family's there watching this whole thing. And I said, "Isn't that awesome?" I said, "Man, Jesus is doing a lot of beautiful things." I said, "If we don't step out in faith and pray, we'll never... God loves you, man. He loves all you." And they're like... I hugged him. I said, "Listen, I got to get... I get down. My flight was delayed like a whole bunch." I said, "Wow, I can go get something to eat." So I went to get something to eat. I come around the corner and I heard this guy going, "Oh my gosh, he's right here. He's right in front of me, honey. Look, I need to go. I got to go." Look, it's the guy that I never got to pray for his back. And I said, "What do you mean this guy? You were on the phone talking about me?" I said, "You were talking about me or what?" And he said, "Buddy, I already sent links to three of my best friends. And I sent a link to my wife and said, please watch this man." Because he was like, "How do you travel all these places? How do so many people know who you are?" I said, "Man, it's a crazy internet. People put me everywhere out there." I said, "I don't even own a computer. And I'm all over it, preaching. And people just call me and email me." In the last 9 months, I had 350 invites to American churches. Just in the last 9 months. 350 invites. That's ridiculous. My girls at church said I could schedule the whole year overseas if I wanted to. That's how the internet has went. It's amazing. So he's like, and I said, "Well, I'm all over." He said, "You're on the internet?" I said, "Kinda." I said, "They told me like over 200 hours or something out there." He said, "What?" He said, "How do I find you?" I said, "Just type in my name." I said, "In fact, that lady on the plane when I knew the two things that she went on the West Coast for, guess how she found me on the internet?" I knew the whole story afterward and she was totally healed and she called my house. Why? She got on Google and typed in, she just assumed I was a pastor. She typed in, "Pastor Dan who heals." Google knows me. I thought, If you have an iPhone right now, you type in Pastor Dan Hills on Google, and my face is going to pop right up. It's going to happen. It wasn't a supernatural thing. I thought it was supernatural. I thought God just did it for her. But some people took their iPhones and typed in Pastor Dan Hills, and I popped right up. Google knows that I heal, see, because Jesus is in me. See, we get wigged out. Well, I can't heal the sick. I don't heal anybody. I know we don't heal anybody, but He's in us, and He told you to go heal the sick. Now, I'm not cool with the phrase, Pastor Dan, who heals. What I'm saying is Google even knows we heal. So don't you get caught up in unbelief. Did I come up? Did anybody do it? I popped right up, didn't I? All you did was Pastor Dan, who heals. Isn't that crazy? And I pop right up. Oh, you go, Jesus. See, I don't even own a computer, and I'm out there preaching like crazy, man, like all over the world. Like, I'm out working beans in my garden a month and a half ago, doing my late crop of beans, which we're picking right now. They're so good this time of year. We just had them last night. It was good. Side note. That's the stuff you edit right there, man. You can cut that out. But I'm out doing my beans. And I looked at my wife. I said, ain't this awesome? I said, I'm at home with you in the yard doing beans. We're going to enjoy them in a month and a half. And I'm preaching all over the world right now. It was like, woohoo! It just felt right. So he's like, how? So I said to him about the damn, just type in Dan Moeller, I'll pop up. He typed in Dan Moeller, and he went, oh my goodness, you're all over. He's scrolling. He said, there's pages. I said, I told you, it's a lot of stuff. I said, people just slap that stuff up. They're everywhere. See, because I don't put that stuff on there. People put that stuff. That's neat. That's neat testimony. So when I saw him, I said, "Why were you talking to? Who were you talking to?" He said, "That was my daughter." He said, "Dude, I already sent you to three of my best friends, to my wife." I said, "You got to." I said, "Are you serious? In the amount of time we've been off the plane, you contacted them?" He said, "Are you kidding me?" I told him, "I just sat beside the most sincere Christian I ever thought I could meet in my entire life." And he was that rocked just by my disposition and personality, which I have nothing to do with. God made me this way.
Come on.
Through being with Him.
Amen.
It's not people skills. Come on. It's just sincerity. It's convinced. I believe what I'm saying. I live what I'm saying. There's passion here because it's my life, not my doctrine.
Yeah.
I'm not tired. Boy, you know, I came in a flight today. I'm an hour ahead of you guys. It's really 20 after 10 to me, you know. And man, I got to preach this thing and get it done. It's not like that. This is my life. It's why my face lights up. I am way, way better than the Energizer Bunny. I promise you. He is no match for the Holy Ghost in me. The Energizer Bunny, done. He will run out of gas way before the kingdom in me. Seriously. Just preach. I told these people I was talking to that I just met here tonight, the last bunch of Saturdays I traveled, now, they ain't going to do that to me tomorrow. They're being easy on me. But I've preached at least 7 hours a day on Saturdays. Because when I go in so quick. It's Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning, and I try to get back home so I can go every weekend and stay in priority and be home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and leave every weekend. Counting the multiple churches I've been at, I'll be at about 54 churches when the year's over. That's how many churches I was in this year. 1 year. About 47 weekends. Gone. But I'm home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, doing my beans, talking to my wife. And then I jump right back on a plane on Friday and pew. But because I'm in so quick and out so quick, they just get the most of me. And they say, now, we don't want to wear you out, but will you be like, can you go all day Saturday? Can we do a couple? I'm like, you can do anything you want. I'm in for it. You ain't going to wear me out. Nobody ever has. Nobody's going to. I'll be fine. They're like, are you serious? Go for it. Try me. So I'm in California. They ran me from one place to the other to the other. It was ridiculous. I went to like four different settings and poured out my heart over and over nonstop. And the pastor said, do you realize you've been on your feet preaching for 10 hours today? I said, ah, it feels wonderful. I was like, seriously, that last hour was fire, baby. I was like, ah. It wasn't like, oh man, I'm glad the day's almost over. Because it's in me. It's life. I'm not preaching. You know what I mean? I'm not doing the minister thing. What is that? Don't ever do that. That's not God. It becomes your life. It becomes who you are. The Word becomes flesh. And you're just get it? Okay. So this guy got so touched by one little plane ride, guys. That's like sounds crazy to me. I'm thinking the potential of this thing. I didn't even know it was happening. It wasn't a ministry strategy. I wasn't like, okay, I got to minister to this guy. I got to impress him with Christ. And I'm not thinking that stuff. I'm just being me. I wasn't even realizing that it was touching his heart like that. He was totally undone. He's telling his daughter, I have just met the most sincere Christian in my life. And I walked by and he went, oh my gosh, he's right here in front of me. I need to go again. So guess what we do? I said, man, I am so glad that I met you. I said, did you see, I got to pray for that fella. He said, I seen you run over there. I wasn't even sure what you were doing. And I thought, my gosh, I think he's praying for him. And he said, I had to get to my gate and then my flight was delayed. I said, mine's delayed. And he said, yeah, we're ready to get on here now. So there's people piled up there everywhere. And he poured out his heart to me about something personal in his life he wanted me to pray for. And I said, okay, I'm going to. But I said, before that, we're going to pray for your back, man, because I've been wanting to pray for your back. And I thought, I lost you. I didn't know where you went. Your back has to be hurting you, man. You told me about that. He said, oh, you just learned to live with it. Come on, he's 54, 17. What's that? 37 years. Whoa, that's almost 38 years by the pool. Man, we're just one short. We caught him one short. We'd have had a bona fide Bible story, baby. Man, I'd have had my 38 year story. But I got a 37. Duh. I'm glad we caught him at 37 and not 38. Yeah. Amen. I said, listen, man, let's just pray. I said, I ain't going to make a scene. He said, no, man, I ain't worried about people right now. He was crying because he was touched by everything on the plane. He was so touched. Oh, this guy was so touched. I prayed for him. It was the most beautiful thing. I said, come on, man, you know your body. It's been this way for 37 years. Just move and bend and check. It would take 3 seconds to find out what's going on in there. He goes, well, and he starts doing these things that look minor to me. But when you got fusions all down your back or plates or things, neck, you know what your body's like. And all of a sudden, he's moving in ways that he can't move. Oh, you loved it, Donnie, because you love this stuff. You live this stuff. He's... And he's just getting emotional and he's letting out these sounds and people are looking and I love it. I'm just going, he couldn't tell that his back had been broken. He's just crying, going, what? It's the gospel. We just hugged and held and I said, you got to get on the plane and I got to get to mine. But man, this was fun. And I bet he's listening to stuff. He might even catch this. He posted or something. He said, hey, that's me. Send it to all his friends. He's talking about me. Because that's the thing, you know, you have these encounters and you share the testimonies and people hear about themselves when they check out the internet because everybody posts stuff. It's just fun, man. Look, the more we believe and become this thing, the more impacting we'll be in our expression of it. And we'll never be reduced to just trying to minister. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on. You'll have confidence in Him in you. You won't be self-conscious. You won't lack confidence in Christ. The more He becomes the love of your life, your Father, the more you grow this way and see yourself the way He sees you, the more you'll express yourself that way and the more impact you're going to have. Look, it's possible. Anybody can read their Bible, study their Bible, and preach a sermon and be theologically correct. It's another thing to embody that thing, to become the Word. That's the goal of the gospel. That's what the Spirit of God is here for, and that's why He's in every one of us. You follow me? Just like He led Jesus through the earth, He wants to lead you through the earth. He ought to be your best friend, Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, you're amazing in me. Don't be afraid to talk to Him. Don't let any Bible teacher tell you it's unscriptural to talk to Him. Because Paul says twice in the New Testament, communion, koinonia, fellowship with Holy Spirit. That's a close, intimate, expressed word. He says the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with you all. He said if there's any encouragement in Christ, any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, Make my joy complete by being of one mind, one spirit, etc., etc. He talks about intimacy and communion with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're my best friend. I've talked like that to Him for so long. Thank you for making me a friend to you like you are to me. Just molding me and shaping me and making me Christ-like. You walked Jesus through the earth. You're going to walk me through this day. Let Christ be made known to the hearts of men.
It's a good way to talk to Him.
You get what I'm saying? Holy Spirit, You are living, breathing love. You made Jesus the living epistle of love. And I thank You, You're fashioning my heart to love. You're causing my eyes to look through truth and through heaven. And I just right now surrender to the way that seems right to man. I just yield it over. I give it all up. I don't surrender to it. I surrender it. I surrender it. You catch what I said? I give it up, God. I don't hold on to the right to think like men think. God, I thank You that You consume and possess my heart with Your way and Your wisdom. Holy Spirit, thank You that we're one. Man, I talk like that. I have no desire to hold account of suffered wrongs. I have no desire to hold people accountable in an offense in the way that I was raised to, God. I thank You. You have made me brand new. I'm living through Your wisdom. Holy Spirit, thank You for fashioning me. You're communing like that with Him. You follow me? Somebody says something that tries to rub you wrong. Come on, you didn't fail. It's not the end of your day. It's not like, boy, I got a long way to go. You feel it rubbing you wrong. Immediately, as soon as you feel it rubbing you wrong, and you're aware of it, to the point that you could feel like, oh man, that ain't God. Immediately, Lord, I so thank You for the light in my life that's showing me that for what it is. There was a time I'd have sat on that for weeks and months and thought it was justified. But it is so not Your heart, so it's not me. And I thank You, You're changing me and molding me. And right now I'm wiser and sharper than I've ever been before because of the light that's inside of me. God, I release them and forgive them and I hold them not account, God. If they knew who they were, they wouldn't have said it that way. They wouldn't have came across that way. Who am I to take that and make that an issue when You have no issues with me? God, I thank You for Your love. That's how you walk out faith. That's how you become loved by the person of God. Are you following me? So it's never about failing, it's about growing. Because if you're failing, then you're just failing. Now you're guilty, and now you're not what you should be, and now you haven't lived up to the sermon, and now you have no intimacy with God because you're not worthy, you know, and you've probably disappointed Him along the way. Come on, that is never the heart of God towards you. While you were yet a sinner, He was pleased to bruise His Son and cause His soul to grieve. God was pleased to bruise His Son for you to get life back inside of you. See, we see God crying on the day Jesus crucified. It's the only part of the Passion that wasn't scriptural. The Passion was amazing. I wish everybody would watch it and get through the gore and just see what it really cost, because it was worse than the Passion. Some people say, oh, I have passions too. That's too brutal. I can't watch it. Probably we ought to all watch it.
Come on.
Hold our eyes open and make ourselves watch it.
Come on.
Because it was real. Jesus died, guys. Amen. Why are we afraid to behold the price He paid? Come on, He shed His blood. He was beat beyond description. The Bible says He was marred more than any of the sons of men. That means when they were done beating Jesus, He looked worse than any man has ever left man look. When they were done beating Jesus, you couldn't possibly tell who He was. There's no way. Why? Why was it so sadistic? Why did it have to be so brutal? Why did they have to beat Him again and again and again? Why couldn't they just give Him the 40-1 and legally, spiritually cover it? Why did they keep beating Him with them rods and whacking Him across the head? And why did they disfigure Him? Because when sin got done with man in the garden, He didn't look anything like He was created to be. So Jesus came and lost His appearance and became what we were, disfigured, so that we could have the right to get our appearance back and have our identity restored. Now you talk about love.
Yeah.
That to me that's love at its finest. I know who they really are. I'll come and take what's necessary upon me to pay the price for that thing, to get off of them. I'll become what they are so they can become what I am. A son. You're not just saved and going to heaven. You're sons and daughters filled with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Now, if I really believe that, you think I'm going to have issues with you over minute stuff, get caught in the soap opera of life, get hung up on Facebook and what somebody posted. Now your whole life is over. Because the whole world saw it. And you can't believe she said that. So you have to send something back. And now you're so caught up. Come on, man. It happens all the time. And all of a sudden we make things that don't matter at all matter so much. And reveal that we really don't understand what matters. And we don't even realize it, but we're just selling cheap again and selling cheap again. And you're not even for sale.
Come on.
You've been bought with a price. It's 9:34. I told you 9:30. I didn't even read Ephesians 4. That's why Pastor Chuck has 3 hours set apart tomorrow. So we'll probably just wrap it up for night. But it feels good though. I feel like I got a whole lot more in me. You guys getting something though? Listen. We'll hit this tomorrow. I think we'll hit this right out of the gate, because after I talk to you tonight, it would only be fitting tomorrow to give you example after example of how to become love and how grace changes our lives. Because some of us try hard because we're sincere and feel like we're failing. And it's not about you trying hard. It's about you desiring to be. Here's the goal, or here's the key to becoming love. I'm going to just tease you with it a little and I'll see you tomorrow. But it's this simple, and don't get mad at me, please. It'll do you no good. It won't help you. The key to becoming love is first wanting to be. And I have found when I travel to churches that there's a handful of folks in every setting that really don't want to become love. They hold on to their rights that they inherited through the fall. They hold on to their anger, to their rightness, to their reasons for being less than His image. And the bottom line is they really don't want to become love. They want to obtain the right to have a right. And it's destroying their life. And it's a sad truth. They have their story so laid out and replayed so many times in their head that they have every reason why they're the way they are, justified, and it's always other people's faults. And they don't realize they're making those things Lord when Jesus is Lord. Those things they're potter when Jesus is the great potter. And their whole life is deceived and fashioned by their go-through instead of His go-through. I've learned this when I travel, that I can preach on love profusely and find that there's a handful of folks at the end that in their heart are just hurt by life and hard, and they're like, whatever, man. And they don't want to become love. And they won't face in humility that their attitude is producing no life. It's actually giving them permission to be less than what they're created to be, and they're dying in the process. Come on, that's tragic. It doesn't take a special person to be offended and hard-hearted and mad. We've all done it well. We all passed and got an A+. It takes faith to deny yourself. Pick up your... What's that actually mean? Did you ever hear anybody even teach that out? Sounds so spiritual. Pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus died on the cross. He tells us to pick ours up and follow Him. What's His cross? What's your cross? Your cross is taxiing through life and living through life and not ever letting an injustice, a sin against you, or an unfairness dictate who you are. But you continue in love and you overcome everything that's evil with good. And you never let sin against you produce sin in you. And you never let anything define who you are but the Christ in you. You carry your cross. Did Jesus deserve the cross? Was it unjust that He was there? You're going to have injustice in your life. Make sure you follow Jesus, not the world. When Peter cut off that boy's ear, he didn't yell at Malchus for being on the wrong side. He yelled at his disciple for acting like the world now that he's been with him for 3 years. What he's saying to Peter is, what are you doing, Peter? Why are you still acting like them when you're with me? Put away your sword. Don't you know if you live by the sword, you're gonna... So the only rebuke he had was for his own disciple. Do you know what we do? We pick up the ear of Malchus and we try to lure him to God with his dilemma. See what your sin got you into, man? You need to turn to God. It's time to get yourself... You need to cross this line, pal. You're on the wrong side of the line. You should be over here with us. come on, man, you come, and God might even have mercy on you. You need to come. And all of a sudden, you're compelling him to come in a trial in his life for what God can do for him instead of the beauty of who God is. Jesus is a way bigger evangelist than that. Jesus just puts the ear on the guy and never says a word and rebukes his disciple for acting like them. Jesus, I bet you he's right. Watch this. He puts the ear of the guy on, rebukes his disciple for cutting it off, and fixes the ear of what looks like the enemy. He's not an enemy. He's a living soul, and our war is not flesh and blood. He's a confused young man who's serving under the high priest, and he's there. He gets caught in the crossfire of the sword, if you will, and Jesus has compassion and fixes the ear, and then they bind him and take him to go kill him. And the only one he corrects is his disciple for acting like the world. Now you put yourself in Malchus's shoes. You're watching Herod mock him and mistreat him. You're watching Pilate sentence him to death. And you're standing there with blood all over your shirt and the side of your face, and your ears totally normal. And you're standing on behalf of the accusers. And all he did was fix your ear. Don't you think we're not going to see Malchus in everlasting life? He's there. How do you know? You can't run from that kind of love. Transform your world. Because in our eyes, he got what he deserved. He should have been following Jesus. He shouldn't have been with a bunch of losers, them sad Jewsies. You get what I'm saying? And all of a sudden we use his situation to try to convert him. You know what God used through Jesus? His goodness. His love. He didn't try to set him straight. He just fixed his ear and believes that's enough to set him straight. Because he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I'll bet you if we follow him and carry our cross, I bet you men will get drawn too. I bet you they're used to seeing angry Christians. And the best we can do is pick it when we're offended. Come on, why are we so impressive if we act like people that don't even go to church when we're in trouble? I just had a young guy come up to me. I won't mention the town, but it's a very strong gay area. He was crying. He said, man, I'm hanging on every word you're saying, and I've been believing it, and I've been out there trying to minister, but I got this group of Christians that are on the block all the time, and their signs say, God hates fags, repent today. That's the Christian's evangelism tool. And he says, I have no access to them, because when I mention Christ or when I try to love on them, they associate me with Christians and the signs. It's tough, man. But those people with a clear conscience think they're doing right. But you can't see that in Jesus' ministry. Jesus went into every city and just healed all their sick. The people had done nothing right. And he just healed their sick. When he was done healing them, they backbit and talked behind their back and said he was a demon-possessed Samaritan and that he healed by the power of the devil, and he still healed all their sick. And he knew they were going to say that after they were healed, and he still healed them. I bet you overcome evil with good. I bet you mercy triumphs over judgment. Love covers a multitude of sin. You're not going to hold signs up and say God hates this and that and point out their sin and have them change, guys. Please don't get caught in that mess. It's a misunderstood mess. I'm just being honest with the camera running. I'm sorry. It's a misunderstood mess. The people that are doing it think they're doing right. They really do. But God said there's going to be a time when they're going to kill men and say it's in God's name. And it's doing God a favor and for God. So things can get pretty twisted out there if you're not careful. Here's the deal. I'll leave you with this. If you can't see it in Jesus' life, then make sure you don't see it in yours. Is that fair? Because he is perfect theology. He's the Word made So God didn't just preach a sermon to you. He put flesh on the sermon and dwelt among us and lived it and said, follow me. So he didn't just come in word only. He came in power. So he lived the life that we were created for and said, follow me, guys. If your life and your belief system doesn't agree with Jesus' life, then just change it and come into agreement and let grace make it happen. Tomorrow I'm going to teach how grace will change us and how you don't have to struggle and strive to become love, and how I actually think I'll have grace to talk a little about the salvation of the soul, and it has to do with faith. So we'll see where we go. I think I can do that.
Oh man, I get all these good feelings and never do it.
Are you coming up to close me out, or are you guys good? Let's pray something before we you guys good? You coming back tomorrow? Okay. I felt good tonight. I just felt happy tonight. Some of you that really know me say, I could cry right now. I try not to pull the emotional card on people. I cry inside a lot when I preach. People just don't know it. I honor truth so much. Truth's my best friend, and it's not letters on a page. It's a life lived. It's a person. Truth is a person. His name's Jesus. And he's amazing. He's my hero, my savior, my role model, my friend. I honor truth above anything. I would risk making you mad before I'd ever compromise truth. Because truth makes you free. I want to make peace and I want to live in agreement, and I'm not creating rebellion when I talk like this. Truth is my highest priority. And I find when I really see it clear, it doesn't make as much waves as we think. Truth's amazing. Brings more peace than you realize. And even if there's waves in the beginning, it usually works out if you won't compromise. If you don't get caught in the debate and try to prove a point. You become this thing, and the world around you will get influenced. You just preach it. They might hear in disregard, or they might not appreciate. But you become this thing. That's what we'll talk about tomorrow, becoming this thing. I promise you, if you become this thing, the world you live in will get influenced. Your sphere of influence will get touched by Jesus if you become this thing. You can teach it word for word. It might not impact people, but if you become this thing and love starts pouring out of you by the Spirit of God, your sphere of influence will get touched by a living Jesus. Do you agree? Why wouldn't I want that? I got this. You're really getting this, aren't you? You're getting moved. There's a lot of good things going on in your heart. I've noticed it. I've almost been distracted by it because it's good. It's good. No, I see God realigning some things and actually just pushing some things out of the way that seem to have been tough. And God's just getting you past some things. That's good. And you want this. Don't ever regret, okay? Don't regret whatever was or what you failed. Enjoy this truth, okay? Embrace it and know it's possible, and God's going to make all things right and new, okay? So there's no there's no regret in your tears, okay? Because I saw earlier God shifted something. It almost felt like regret in a moment, but because you were weak in an area and you wished you were strong. But here's the deal. Truth has come. And you can be strong the rest of your life. And God can redeem days and people and relationships. God can redeem. Are you following me? So I just bless you with that, okay? And I want your tears to be very healthy from this night on, all right? Overwhelmingly joyful tears. Yay. Can we pray something?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the impartation with my life is usually the ministry of truth. It just is. It's the grace on my life. And it's not that I don't like laying hands on people. I just like preaching Jesus. But Father, I ask you for grace in this house right now. And most of all, Lord, I ask you to just capture the heart of every one of us. Father, even if somebody was sitting here and was just here because they were here by happenstance or because they had to be here. And even if they weren't able to really seemingly hear, I just thank you that they heard something some way, somehow, that you minister life to every person in this room. That God, you would come and captivate our hearts with understanding, that you would be the very motivation inside of us. That you would birth desire in us like we've never had before. Lord, let your grace abound. Even if people in this room don't totally understand what that means, it's okay. I thank you that your grace begins to abound in our lives and fashion us and mold us and shape us and cause us to agree with your desire. God, I thank you that this room is found as a room of very hungry, pursuant people that are walking in the fruit of your Spirit. Not a hungry, desperate people that feel like they're a million miles away. A people that are experiencing and tasting that You are good. And that are manifesting Your fruit in every place. Man, I hear that scripture, how God always causes us to triumph and through Jesus and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. That we to God are the fragrance of Christ.
That's your Bible says that.
So Father, I just pray that grace over this house right now. And I just thank You that there's a supernatural grace that brings understanding and revelation that causes us to produce fruit, even ASAP. Lord, I'm just asking for an acceleration of just becoming. And I just pray that even this night, tomorrow, and every day to come has to be lived just a little bit different in the light because of this night. The hunger that's here, the commitments that are here, and just the Word that's here, I thank You brings great fruit, God, to these lives and to the lives that they touch. Thank You. In Jesus' name, I believe it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen, guys. We'll see you in the morning.
All right. There's nothing left to say. So blessings to you. We'll see you. We'll see you in the morning at 10 o'clock. And if you have any questions or need any help about anything, you can see me, some of the people at the Welcome Center, and we'll